Welcome to the deep dive. Today we're unpacking a really foundational topic from your sources, vectors and forces. Mm-hmm. Now it might sound like pure physics, maybe a bit dry, but we're going to distill it down to some surprising nuggets of knowledge, things that explain so much of the world you interact with, you know, every single day.
That's absolutely right. And what's fascinating, I think, is just how fundamental these concepts really are. Understanding vectors and forces, well, it's key. It's essential for grasping how things move, push, and pull all around us. So we'll clarify what they are, why they matter, basically give you that shortcut to being, well, pretty well informed on this.
Okay, so digging into the sources then, a really crucial distinction pops up straight away. This idea of scalar versus vector quantities. Can you unpack that a bit? Why is that difference so important?
Yeah, it really all boils down to direction. See, scalar quantities, things like distance or maybe temperature, they just tell you how much. They've got a magnitude. That's it.
Just a number.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Just a number. But vectors, they have magnitude and they have direction. So think about displacement, for example.
Sure.
That's how far you are from where you started and in which direction. So, you know, if you walk around the block, right, end up back at your front door, you might have walked, say, a mile. That's your distance. But your displacement, it's zero. You're back where you started.
Ah, okay. Because the direction brought you back.
Precisely. That direction component fundamentally changes what the quantity means.
That really highlights something interesting, doesn't it? You could cover loads of ground, walk for ages, but have zero displacement.
Huh. Okay, so if they have direction, how do we combine them? Like, if two forces are pushing something, how do we figure out the overall push?
Excellent question. And yeah, just like regular numbers, we could do operations with vectors. We can add them, subtract them,
right,
even multiply them by a scalar, by a plane number.
Right. And this is exactly how we combine those pushes and pulls. You know, maybe it's two people trying to shove a sofa or different winds hitting a sailboat. We add those vector forces up
to find the net effect.
Exactly. The net effect, the resultant force. It's absolutely essential if you want to predict what's actually going to happen to the object.
And I guess the practical side of this is huge, especially the sources mention breaking down a vector, decomposing it.
Oh, yes. Decomposition. That's incredibly useful.
Like a long axis, X and Y.
Usually perpendicular axes, like Cartesian coordinates. By breaking a vector down into its components along those axes, we can tackle really complex movements, complex interactions, but in a much, much simpler way.
Can you give us a quick example? Like, where does that really shine?
Sure, sure. Think about an airplane flying, and maybe there's a crosswind hitting it from the side. The total force acting on that plane is, well, it's a mix. It's the engine pushing it forward and the wind pushing it sideways.
Yeah.
So engineers decompose that total force vector. They break it into a forward component and a sideways component. This lets them calculate exactly how much engine power is needed to stay on course versus how much is just fighting that wind.
Oh, I see. So it separates out the effects.
Precisely. It's crucial for, well, everything from navigating planes to figuring out where a baseball's going to land when you throw it.
That makes perfect sense.
Nah.
Okay, so we've talked vectors, describing how things move. Now let's pivot to the causes of movement. Because forces, well, forces seem like the ultimate example of vectors in action, right?
They really are. Forces are, you could say, quintessential vectors. They always have both a magnitude, how strong the push or pull is, and a direction.
And how do we measure them? What are the units?
Typically, you'd use a dynamometer. It's basically a spring scale.
Ah.
And the standard unit is the Newton, named after Isaac Newton, of course.
Of course.
And like we said before, when you have multiple forces, you often want to find their resultant force. That single force that captures the combined effect.
And the sources mentioned different types of forces.
Yes, several key types. A big distinction is between contact forces, things actually touching, like a push or friction, and forces that act at a distance.
Like gravity.
Exactly like gravity or magnetism. And weight is a huge one. Weight is the force of gravity acting on an object's mass.
Right. Mass being how much stuff is in something.
Correct. And weight depends on that mass and the local gravitational acceleration, G. And here's the key bit. G isn't the same everywhere. It's different on Earth than it is on the moon, for instance.
So you weigh less on the moon, even though your mass, the amount of you, hasn't changed.
Precisely. Your mass is constant, but your weight changes with gravity. It's a perfect example of force being location dependent.
That's a great illustration. What about other everyday forces? Springs? Or friction, are they vector-based too?
Oh, absolutely. Take elastic force, the force in a stretched or compressed spring. That's governed by Hooke's law. It depends on how stiff the spring is, its elastic constant, and how far it's deformed from its rest length. And crucially, the force acts to restore it back to that rest length. Direction matters.
Okay, and friction. That always seems to just get in the way.
Huh. Yes, friction always opposes motion or potential motion.
Mm.
And it's also a vector. We usually talk about static sliding friction. That's the force you have to overcome to start something moving.
Right, like pushing a heavy box.
Exactly. And then there's dynamic sliding friction, which acts on objects that are already moving, slowing them down. Plus, you have things like viscous friction in fluids, think air resistance.
And they all have coefficients.
Mm-hmm. Coefficients of friction, which depend on the surfaces involved, basically telling you how sticky they are relative to each other.
So pulling it all together then. Weight, springs, friction. These are all vector forces.
They are. And what's really fascinating, tying it back to the start, is how those vector tools we talked about, addition, decomposition, become absolutely indispensable.
Yeah.
You need them to understand how these forces combine, how they interact, and ultimately how they dictate the behavior of objects we see every day. Without considering direction, your predictions would be completely off.
So we've taken a real deep dive today into, well, the fundamental language of physics, it seems, vectors and forces. Uncovering how these ideas explain everything from, I don't know, a simple pendulum swing to why a car needs brakes.
Absolutely. And reflecting on all this, it maybe raises an interesting question for you, the listener. Considering just how powerful vectors are for describing direction and magnitude in the physical world, how might these same principles, this way of thinking, extend beyond physics?
Mm-hmm.
Could they perhaps help you analyze something like, say, the flow of information in a really complex network? Or maybe the different factors pulling you in various directions when you're facing a tough decision, just something to think about.